Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. Okay. Well, tonight is the 25th devotional in the More Than Enough devotion. And the title of it is called More Than Enough Friendship, because I've been going on and through each one of these topics and how that all of these things that we need in life, we have more than enough of. And sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but in Jesus, we have more than enough. And I was just reading this morning, Paul said, he was talking to one of the churches about some offering and support they had sent to him, and he was so excited, not over just the offering, but over the reward that they would receive. And he said, I have everything I need, more than enough. I'm abundantly supplied. And then he starts blessing them. And that's how I feel in this season. And a lot of people might look at my life and say, well, your husband died, and, you know, now you're alone, you live alone, and poor you, you know, you're dealing with the silence of the house. And I it's been a while now. That's not still my story, but it is a wonky to go through a season where you've had kids in the house and you've had, a spouse and all of that, and then everyone moves out and it's just you. That's really different. And, you have friends in life and you see them on occasion, but when you're healthy, you don't spend every living waking moment with your friends. And there comes a point where, you have to be able to stand on your own 2 feet and know that you have a friend in Jesus that can fill every void, every gap, every lonely moment, every sad moment, every hurtful moment. You don't always have to have a shoulder to cry on. It's good to have one or two that you can cry on. But I have found that Jesus is just the most faithful friend in the entire universe. So I want to talk about that tonight. What a friend. Remember the old song? We're even going to go over the lyrics at the end. I thought it'd be kind of nostalgic to do that. But Jesus begins on this subject of us being his friends. And of course, he's talking to the disciples. And now we've all become disciples. And what was good for them is good for us. I believe Jesus is talking to us the same way he did them at the time. And he says this in John 15, 13 through 16. And this is the Passion Translation. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. Oh, I told you on Sunday, I need you to pray for me, because I am notorious for getting revelation in the middle of a passage and stopping and preaching on every line in there. But there's sometimes great mysteries if we'll stop and meditate on just one piece that Jesus said right there. And we might be able to be a better friend if we can understand just one piece of this. Years ago, I leaned too heavily on people. How many of you have ever leaned too heavily on people? I think we can all agree that we've done that. It's nice to have someone that you can lean on, but everyone goes through seasons when they don't have the emotional reserve for us. How many of you have been where you didn't have the emotional reserve for someone else? You wanted to sacrifice more, but you just didn't have it as a human being. And, I've seen people practically kill themselves trying to be all things to all people or everything to one person. And this really helped me in my friendships and my relationship with my spouse, because he was a sacrificial man. Would kill himself trying. But even with as much as he did give, there were just things he could not do. There were things that it would be unreasonable for me to expect him to always be everything to me at all times. And Jesus begins here with this statement, and I want this to go deep. And especially when we're going into the relationship series in February here, you're going to hear me talk a lot about, I'm going to keep pointing you back to Jesus. Because you cannot be healthy. You cannot be a healthy person. You cannot have a healthy relationship with the Lord, nor have a healthy relationship with yourself, which is where true friendship begins. And if you can't be a friend to yourself, you cannot receive the friendship and draw from the friendship of Jesus, you will crash and burn and sabotage every other relationship in your life. I'm just being honest. So Jesus says something. For the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all. Now, many people will read that like, I just have to sacrifice all. I've got to sacrifice all if I'm going to be the great lover, if I'm going to be, you know, the great loving friend, whatever. And it's great to sacrifice. I believe in sacrifice. But it begins with Jesus. And he's talking about himself. And he says, and this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. He's telling them a mystery. They don't even understand what he's saying. And if I were sitting in that circle then, in my untransformed, unregenerated, you know, self, I would have thought that he was talking to me about sacrificing everything for my friends. How many of you would do that? Because we go to ourselves, like, okay, I want to love like that. I want to be the one that sacrifices all. I want to be the one that lays down my life for my friends. And that's a good thing, to have that as an ambition or an aspiration. But Jesus is talking about himself and what he's going to do. He's going to be the one that sacrifices it all for them. And then he turns and talks to them. What is their, he begins to talk about their requirement in terms of their relationship with him and what he wants from them. And he says, you show that you are my intimate friends when you obey all that I command you. Your responsibility is just obey me. I'm not asking you to go out and kill yourself. And, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And the second is like it. Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love your neighbor or your friends. We could just say it like that. Love your friends. Hopefully your neighbors are your friends. Your fellow man. As you love yourself. And even sometimes we just let that as you love yourself part just kind of fall off. How many of you have been there before? It's just like you hear love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. But the as yourself part just kind of, it's because it just kind of falls off. It's like, okay, we focus on the first two. And I'm going somewhere with this. So Jesus is basically giving them a mystery. I'm the one that's going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to sacrifice all. And I'm calling you my intimate friends. And I want you to know that there's going to be people in your life that aren't going to be able to sacrifice all for you. Isn't that true? And when you're dealing with the disappointment of someone else's performance because they just didn't have enough to be what you think you need from them in that season, you need to turn to him. Yes? Instead of being bitter toward them and seeing them as a bad friend and, you know, someone that just didn't come through for, you don't know where anybody is at any given time. And everybody's dealing with some form of brokenness. Everybody's dealing with some form of disappointment. Everybody's got their things that they're working through. And when you put someone on a pedestal as the one that you need to sacrifice all for you. I do believe we should sacrifice in marriage. I believe we should love each other, you know, as much as Christ has loved us. But if you don't understand how much he's loved you and you aren't receiving that kind of love from him, you aren't going to have what you need for your friends, and you aren't going to have what you need for your spouse, and you aren't going to have what you need for your neighbor, and you aren't going to have what you need for yourself. Amen? And so Jesus says he wants them to be his intimate friends, but he says, I need you to show me that you're an intimate friend by obeying all that I command you. So in other words, love yourself. That's a commandment. I'll say it again. Love yourself. Love yourself. Yes, love God. And yes, love your neighbor. But it goes like this. I let God love me because he's the one that sacrifices all. He's the most sacrificial. He doesn't get burnt out being a laid down lover for me. He never burns out. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's never weary with me. He's got everything I need. He fills in all of the gaps where other people cannot perform. And that makes me a safe, steady, stable, full person, because I am so loved. I'm loved so well by God that I hardly notice when someone doesn't measure up. Wow, I'm just slowing down. Where I used to be like, oh, I needed this from you, and you didn't do this for me, and I just can't depend on you, and da-da-da-da. And I believe that we should have dependable friends, but I think sometimes we put too much pressure on the people around us to fill in what only God can do for us. And once we are loved well by God, the second responsibility is to love ourselves well. Now, that doesn't mean you just, you know, lavish yourself with every single thing and you ignore the needs of everyone else around you. That's called selfishness. But you will love better and you will be even more sacrificial and have what you need to give to others if your relationship with the Lord is one where there is an equal love flow. Okay? So he goes on and he says in verse 15, I have never called you servants, because a master doesn't confide in his servants. There's a mystery too. And servants don't always understand what the master is doing. But I call you my most intimate friends, for I reveal to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, but I've chosen and commissioned you to go into the world to bear fruit. And your fruit will last, because whatever you ask of my Father, for my sake, he will give it to you. So, I don't want to get into my teachings in the next month, but there are, as you grow up, there are certain people that you need to vet in order to be in your inner circle. There are layers of relationships, and not everybody belongs at those very, very close places. And Jesus is talking about intimate friendship, and he says, I reveal to you everything. Now, there are people that I consider, you know, associates or people that I've met that are acquaintances, and I'm friendly with them. I'm friendly. But they're not my friends. And I don't mean that in a mean way. They're just not my friends. And as you begin to grow up and discern who people are, they're not bad people. You have to learn how to position and place people in your life in the right categories. Mm-hmm. I see the wisdom now starting to go off. And so, as you begin to mature, you will realize that you can talk to a lot of people, you can be friendly, you can smile, and you can have certain conversations with people, but there are others you can't have with them. Because not everybody can be trusted with your vulnerability and the deep things of your heart. And the Lord offers that to us. Jesus offers that to us. He is the safest person in the universe. And you say, well, I want to talk to a person that I can tangibly see and see their facial features and, you know, it, you know, touch them. And it's important to have friends that we can be in close proximity to. But there are just certain things that no one, not even my husband, heard me say, only Jesus. How many of you have that kind of relationship with the Lord? There were times that I could look at Pastor Rick and he was so exhausted. He was so weighed down with the pressures of this life, with things that are going on at work, with his own internal struggles. And when you live with someone, you become very close to them and you can discern their capacity. And I would encourage you, if you haven't learned that and you are in a marriage, to learn that as quickly as you can, husbands and wives, but even in friendships. Because there are times when you want to go dump the back the dump truck up and just dump it all out because you want to process, and that person has no capacity to really hold everything that you need to dump. And I do believe the husbands and wife need to be good listeners and good communicators. But there are times when your husband or your wife, they will fail you in terms of meeting an emotional need because they just don't have the capacity to give you what you need in that moment. And what happens is if you feel like they're being insensitive and you haven't discerned their capacity, you will begin to believe they don't care. And I called my mom a few times as a young, immature wife and crying. And mom said, honey, leave that man alone. He's worked 15 hours. And, you know, he can't handle everything you're saying. I can hardly handle everything you're saying. And I'm your mom. And she said, you need to take it to the Lord. And then you wouldn't want this, but Mother Chalk would sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But it blows my mind that El Shaddai, the God of heaven and earth, the all-sufficient, more than enough God, would call me his most intimate friend. When I'm 50 shades of crazy and I'm feeling vulnerable and I'm broken and even if I've behaved badly, he loves me and still calls me his most intimate friend. But he says, you prove to me you're mine when you obey me. You know? And so many times I'd get mad at mama and then I'd go do what she said. I'd leave Rick alone and I'd go out in the garage and pray and tell Jesus everything that my husband was doing wrong, and never really pointed out anything I was doing wrong, but I always pointed out what he was doing wrong and how I needed God to fix him. And, you know, after a little while, once I got quiet, the Lord would gently begin to show me myself and what I needed to do. Don't leave me hanging out here. Am I talking? Raise your hand up if you've experienced this. Yes. And so I want to encourage you because this will help you in your relationships. There were times I needed to have a talk with a friend and they just weren't available, or, you know, they had other things going on and they you know, I had to wait for an appointment. And in the middle between my heartache and, you know, their availability, the enemy will work and say they don't really care about you. They don't really have time for you. Your issues are just overwhelming, and you know, people are giving you the stiff arm. And how many of you have been there in your immaturity, wondering whether your friendships are okay because someone has transitioned into another season of their life and you don't have the same level of time and access with your friends as maybe you used to? many of us have matured to a point where we understand these things, but it can be truly difficult. And I want, this is a simple message tonight. There's no big, deep meaning in this. It's just that we all need friends. We need good friends. Thank you, Lisa. We need healthy friends, but not all of our friends come good and healthy. Sometimes you will have a friend that goes through a season of brokenness where they aren't acting very healthy. And because you're a covenant friend, if they're not, you know, stealing from you and abusing your children and, you know, all some other deal breakers, sometimes we're required to walk with someone during a season when they're not at their best. Like, you know, Ruth, she stuck with Naomi, and Naomi changed her name to bitter. And she was bitter, but Ruth loved her. And Naomi had been there for her as a mother-in-law in the good times. And now she's going through a bad time, and Ruth decides to stay with her as a covenant friend and a daughter-in-law and all that. And so, but I'm sure with Ruth and Naomi, with any relationship, there's times when you are not getting from your earthly friends or your spouse who should be your friend. Hello? If your spouse is not your friend, you're in trouble. But there are times when you're not getting from them what you need, and many marriages fall apart because they just say, we're not friends anymore. Well, listen, if you'll be friendly and you will turn to Jesus and you will speak to Jesus and you will journal what he says and work on yourself and minimize the drama and the trauma that immaturity brings to relationships, you'll see that the waters will subside. And not only that, the Lord will begin to share with you these secrets. I like that. And it was during those times when I felt abandoned or maybe rejected or overlooked. Many times I jumped to conclusions because I didn't communicate, and this is what happens when you're broken. You conclude things without communication. And you make all kinds of assumptions, and now all of a sudden you got a fence and all of this drama and trauma in your relationships. And I would go to the Lord, and I begin to journal and pray, and the Lord began to share with me the secrets of his heart. He would give me strategies. He would give me things that I could do, and it was such a wonderful way to refocus my energies. But he never left me. He never forsook me. And even when I was at my worst, Jesus still loved me through all those seasons. And I love this scripture in Proverbs 17:17. It says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. He is truly the friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so, don't neglect your friend. Don't neglect Jesus. Don't be a bad friend. Many times we look at him as Savior. We look at him as, you know, Almighty God, and we should have that sense of awe and that sense of reverence. We should never become so familiar with our friend that he loses his value in our life, you know. So we should be good to our friend. And so I established a friendship with Jesus. I still have a friendship with Jesus. And it's more important in this time of my life than it ever has been. I mean, if you were a fly on the wall in my house, you'd think I was crazy. Unless you go to Soul Harvest and you understand that I talk to God. How many of you talk to God in your house? Okay, good. The world doesn't understand that. But I walk around talking to Jesus all day long. I mean, I talk to him about almost everything. I worship, and I believe he's there with me as I'm worshiping. He has become so real to me that I don't feel I don't feel a void in my life. There's a fullness in my home. There's a fullness in my day. He's the first person I talk to in the morning. I talk to him all throughout the day. I talk to him before I go to bed. And he is the one friend that I converse with all the time. And do you know that he has never neglected me? He has never failed to meet my emotional needs. He has never failed to comfort me. He has never failed to make me feel safe and secure. And I pray you will get to know him like that. Because that's who he is, and that's what he wants to be in your life. But it grieves his heart when you do not allow him to love you and you do not love yourself. Because to him, it's not a deal breaker, but it hurts his heart. How many of you have tried to love someone that won't let you? Yeah? And when you've been hurt by other people, there's been a breach of trust. It's very difficult to trust anyone else again. And it's especially hard to trust the Lord. And trust is the foundation of any healthy relationship. And so if you are in a season right now where you're dealing with trust issues, you're going to have to go to the Lord and just, even if you don't feel like it, say, other people have broken my heart. Other people have broken my trust. Other people have left, but you haven't. Other people have betrayed me, but you never will. And it doesn't matter how I feel, I choose to place my trust in you. One of the things that happens when you do that is you open up the heart of intimacy from Jesus. He feels like, okay, I can start sharing things with you. But I won't share an intimate moment with someone that I feel is completely closed, completely locked up, that doesn't trust me. Why would I trust them with the things that are in my heart if I know they don't trust me? Correct? And the Lord is saying, look, I'm destroying strongholds. I'm helping you to take strongholds down. Strongholds are fortified places that we build in our mind to keep ourselves safe. And many times it's even safe from God. We subconsciously don't think we are, but we lock him out too. And the Word of God says that this friend, Jesus, that sticks closer than a brother was born for adversity. I can't tell you how many friends bailed on me in adversity. I got a good amen up here. When the poo hit the fan, they were nowhere to be found. I'm over fighting in their corner. I'm for you. I'm your ride or die. Got your back, man. I'm all the way there. But then a situation happens in my life, and now they align with the enemy. Start talking about me. I've got to pull the knives out of my back that I pulled out of theirs, and all of a sudden they put them in mine. And if it weren't for Jesus, and if it weren't for the relationship that I have with him, and knowing that he's a thick or thin God, he's the God that's going to stick with me through thick or thin, I would not still be standing and serving him and leading other people to him. Why would I lead you to him if I don't trust him? And I'm thug like that, okay? I'm working on it. But where I came from, loyalty was life. It wasn't a cute little idea. It was life. You're disloyal, you die. Period. So you learned who you could trust. And this is hitting on many different spectrums right now, but I want to talk about how to identify or vet a friend tonight. But I want to say this in point C. Good friends weather thick and thin together instead of abandoning each other when the going gets tough or rough. And good friends reciprocate that love, loyalty, and self-sacrifice. After Jesus said the greatest love of all is a love that sacrifices all, and this great love is demonstrated when a person sacrifices his life for his friends. You cannot live in a sacrificial way until you have received the sacrificial love of Jesus. It just doesn't happen. Now, point D, sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between a friend and an acquaintance. The two are similar, although an acquaintance has little in common with you and you don't share the intimate times or details of your life with them, and I established that earlier. A friend is consistent and loyal through whatever life may throw your way. If anything, one of the most important aspects I've learned over the years is that when God provides you with friends that accept you for you, appreciate them, love them. Here are several key factors to look for when choosing a friend. Now, before I get into this, and I'm just going to go through these quickly so we can get out of here. I'm already behind time. But the Bible says a man with a lot of friends, chosen indiscriminately, which means you did not discern where they belong in your life and position them accordingly. This person shall come to ruin. Hello? That's what the Bible says. And that was Solomon, the wisdom of God. A man who has a lot of friends that he has indiscriminately chosen will come to ruin. And if you have a problem with wanting to be popular and everyone liking you, and you just let everyone in your life and you let everyone have access to you, and you have no boundaries and you do not state what your boundaries are and you do not enforce your boundaries, you will come to ruin. You will. And that's why it's just so important to know how to discern and choose a friend. So the first thing is they will always be honest with you. These are the friends that aren't afraid to give you a wake-up call whenever necessary. A real friend will tell you what you need to hear because they care about you. Number two, they love you for yourself. We all have our quirks, and a real friend will love you for who you truly are. We all need friends that we can be ourselves around. Now, notice I didn't say they will always love you for what you truly do. I said for who you truly are. You are not what you do. Okay? And many times we do dumb stuff and people stop loving us because they were only there because of what we do. Hello? Now, a true friend will tell you when you're doing something that's dumb. They'll tell you that's dumb. I cooked fish tonight. I came in, Jackie, I gave her a hug, and I said, Jackie, smell me. Do I smell like fish? See, you can tell your friends, smell me. Yeah. Me and Jackie, there's nothing weird about it. We kiss on the lips. We do. It's an old-fashioned thing. Not right now since in COVID, but we always go up and give each other a peck on the lips. But we're friends. We're close friends. And but yet we don't talk every day. And we don't talk that much really during the week or months sometimes at all. We see each other at church. But I know where you live. And I know if there was any time I needed anything, I know I could pull up at that front door and knock on the door and the door would fling open. And I'm safe and sound at Jackie's. There are certain people that have that level of access to me, and the same thing goes for Mama Didi. And, you know, I hope you have those people in your life. But I know that I have a few friends in my life that know Vernie. Now, not all of you, I do not give you permission to call me that. But if you have permission to call me that, you know the little girl, you know the person that isn't always perfect, isn't always put together, isn't always, you know, what you see up here. You know Vernie. And you know there are people in your life that know that person in you. And hopefully you have that person. But the third thing in discerning a friend is they give you more than they take. Real friends are thoughtful and are willing to be there for you whenever you need them. We are all climbing a different mountain, and genuine friends will care about your problems as much as their own. Number four, they compromise. And I don't mean compromise and go and do worldly things that will take you down into a pit of sin. But in any relationship, it's important to meet in the middle. Friends will have disagreements from time to time, and when that happens, it's best to work out a solution together. And I don't have to have friends that agree with every single thing I say. And sometimes I don't agree with every single thing they say or do. But it's not worth the fight. Right? It's not worth the breaking of a friendship. There are certain things that are deal breakers, but I mean, as we're growing in friendships, you're not going to always want the same things, like the same things. You'll have a lot of things in common, but sometimes there's just things that you're going to have to meet in the middle on. Number five, they forgive you even without an apology. Now, there are some things that require an apology, but sometimes someone will be having a bad day and, you know, just you're a grown-up. I mean, you're fully mature in love. Well, you don't take offense to things all the time. If you're touchy, 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 and, you know, always just irritable and all of that, there's something going on in your heart, and you need to give people grace. Even if a true friend feels offended, they never hold a grudge. They may be upset temporarily, but they forgive before you even apologize. A caring friend will be quick to reconcile. And so, like, I had friends like that in the past. Just everything was huge. It was always some big come to Jesus, up in arms meeting. Everything was exaggerated. I don't know if you've ever had that kind of situation, but, you know, it's like walking around on eggshells, and you knew that just to enter into a conversation with them, you had to come groveling with some big apology. And I believe in apologizing. If you know you've offended, but my God, to just live in that level of immaturity all the time just wears you down. My friends, even if it's some little thing, you know, and I'm just like, don't worry about it. Man, I forgot about it already. You know, I mean, there's so much grace there that it's just, we don't make big deals out of every single thing, right? Number eight, they are respectful of you. You won't always agree with your friends, but that's okay. True friends welcome and respect your thoughts and opinions. They want what you want for yourself and vice versa. What makes a friendship unique is that both people aren't exactly the same and have a variety of opinions. My closest friends know that I am not a pet person. Like, I am not cruel to pets. I do think animals are amazing and they're cute. They're just not for me. I'm not going to have one in my house. I don't need one to feel, you know, like I have a friend around the house or whatever. And so I grew up with all these dogs and, I mean, you know, hunting dogs and we raised rabbits and my dad had a worm farm and there was just, you know, goats and chickens and horses. And I decided, because I was the one, my father went blind and everybody went to work and I took care of him, that I was tired of shoveling poop, all kinds of animal poop. I was tired of it. And I was tired, man. Mama would let them come in the house, and there were dogs running through the house, and I was always vacuuming the furniture. And I'm a needy. I'm clean. I'm a neat person. I don't want dog hair on my furniture. I'm allergic to, well, in Jesus' name, I'm not going to declare that anymore. I love cats, and cats love me. Meow. Anyways, I am not a pet person. Just so you know, don't ever buy me a puppy or a cat or anything like that for my birthday because I will give it back to you. I just, it's not coming with me. Nope. But I have friends that love their pets. They are so into that. And, you know, I just, it's okay. We don't have to both love the same things. And I never put that on my kids. You know, if that's your jig, that's fine. But you got to wait till you get your own house to do it. Number six, they believe in you. True friends will be supportive of your goals and passions. They will be your biggest cheerleaders in everything you do and are nothing but encouraging. Surrounding yourself with positive influences will not only make you more positive, but strengthen your friendships together. Number seven, they are respectful of you. And I only have about two more, so then we're done. You won't always agree with your friends, but that's okay. True friends welcome and respect your thoughts and opinions. Did I read that? I did. They are thoughtful. Number nine, they are thoughtful. Being trapped in a relationship that is one-sided and selfish is not enjoyable. Choose friends that have giving hearts and that are considerate individuals. It's always refreshing and makes the friendship deeper if your friend remembers the little details about you and wants to make you happy through little gestures. And I have a few friends that know certain things about me, and I'll get a text message every now and then. And it's just, you know, either something they saw or there was a specific time of day. And we have little things that are between the two of us or three of us, and these little text messages will come because they're thoughtful and they pay attention to the details. I had a friend that hated mushrooms. She wasn't allergic to mushrooms, but she hated mushrooms. I actually love mushrooms. And I love sauteed mushrooms. I love them in, you know, my dishes. And I had certain dishes that I felt like were just completely destroyed if the mushrooms weren't in them. How many of you feel about that way about certain foods? Like, this dish has to have this certain thing in it that you like. So when I would cook for her and we were together, our families would come together, I would leave the mushrooms out for her sake. And so there are things about me, and I'm being healed of avocado allergy. Isn't it terrible to be allergic to avocados? That's what I hear. And I'm looking forward to eating an avocado someday and my throat not closing up. But I have friends that love avocados, and they put them in their salads, and they do all these things. But when I eat with them, they won't use avocado oil. They won't put avocados in the food. And so, you know, we make accommodations. That's just a small thing. But pay attention. Pay attention in your friendships. And if someone in your life has an issue with something that you really enjoy, don't give them a hard time about that. Accommodate that. If it's not illegal, immoral, or ungodly, don't force them to do everything that you do the way you do it and love everything that you love the way you love it. In a friendship, it's give and take. And so I eat all the mushrooms I want when my friend is not around. And I'm sure my other friends eat all the avocados they want when I'm not around. But let's be a good friend to people, okay? And then the last one is they stick around. Through all of our lives, people come and go, but loving friends will be in it for the long haul. We all experience different seasons throughout our life, and true friends will want to stay because they care about you. And as I end tonight, you can go and stand up to your feet. I want to read this hymn to you. Here's what I've learned about Jesus. He knows everything I like and everything I don't. And he tends to favor me and bless me with the things I do like and love. And I appreciate all that. He listens because I talk too long, obviously. It's 8:20. But he never tires of hearing me. And here's the lyrics of this old song by Alan Jackson. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Yes. Is there trouble anywhere? Oh, yes. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who with will all our sorrow share? The answer to that is yes. Jesus knows our every weakness, so take it to the Lord in prayer. I want you to know this. You have more than enough friendship in Jesus to get you through every sunny and dark day and every mountaintop or valley season. He will never leave you or forsake you. I encourage you to be a good friend to him as well. He speaks, so listen. Where he goes, follow. What he asks you to do, do it. And if you do these things, you can expect to see miracles every day of your life. I hope you were encouraged. Many times we neglect Jesus all during the week. And we come to church because we like to see our friends. And I'm not picking on anybody in here. We come to church because you know what, it is our reasonable sacrifice. Some call it duty, some call it obligation, some look forward to it. It's a great time. We get in the presence of the Lord. It feels great. And, you know, I'm not saying that we just do this as a religious checkoff on our list of things to do each week. You come because you love the Lord. You come because you know you need to be in His presence. You come because you need the fellowship of the saints, your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I want you to know that Jesus is an everyday friend. He's not a once-a-month friend. He's not a once-a-week friend. He's an everyday friend. And the stability of your life is going to depend on how often you engage Him as your friend. So I want to encourage you, as you leave here tonight, talk to Him as you lay your head down on your pillow tonight. If you need to tell Him something, you know, that you need help with, just do it. Don't expect immediate answers. As you know, every house takes time to build. Sometimes projects take time to come together. And know this, whatever you tell Him, He goes to work on your behalf. He never goes, oh God, another problem from you. I don't know how I'm going to work this out. You know what He says? I'll work all things together for your good because you love me. Amen? Give God a big old praise. Lord, we thank you. And we decide right now to be a good friend to you and let you be a good friend to us. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you need prayer, the team will be here.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You can also share with your friends. Click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.